Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute designed to equip believers to defend their faith and live their lives as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as always, you can contact us as well via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, I want to begin this broadcast by reiterating something that I wrote about in my latest book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, which is that while life matters more, and I'll say more about that in just a moment, truth matters. Truth really, really matters. And that's precisely why at the Christian Research Institute, we are so deeply committed to equipping Christians to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, and of course, to do that with gentleness and respect. And it's why we educate ourselves and our children in the art and science of biblical interpretation. It's why I frequently say that the Bible, rightly understood, is, well, it's an immovable bulwark that fuels our faith and that shatters the waves of skepticism and doubt. You know, Daniel Webster was so very right when he said, if we abide by the principles that are taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But he said, if we and our posterity neglect its instructions, neglect its authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. You know, it can happen. Perhaps we are on the verge of seeing it take place right now in the present day. Well, CRI is also committed to equipping you to counter counterfeit religions. Wrongly apprehended, that might rightly be regarded as a never-ending tedium. And I say that because Satan packages and repackages his lies in a wide variety of manners. Thus, rather than attempt to absorb every deviation of every counterfeit, we're better served to become so familiar with the main and the plain things of Scripture that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, we can spot them straight away. And yet being intellectually equipped is hardly sufficient, which is why I am so deeply committed to the maxim, life matters more. The Father's greatest gift to those who have been saved through the death of His Son is the impartation of a new order of life. It's an order of life that is of the same quality as the life of Christ. And that is exactly what it is. It's the impartation of the life of Christ by which the incarnation continues. I've said it before, but it bears repeating, the descent of the ineffable in incarnation provides the ladder of divine ascent by which humanity might rise up to union with God, to participate, as Peter put it, in the divine nature. So if we relegate the Christian experience to a mere head full of knowledge, mental assent to logical truth propositions, well, then we're in danger. We're in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than a transformational relationship with the lover of our souls. A transaction that offers heaven and avoidance of hell, yet strangely devoid of the transformational intimacy that Christ offers you and me right here, right now. I'm not talking about a mere head full of knowledge. I'm speaking about active participation in the kingdom of God. And I'm speaking about entrance into the divine life of the Holy Trinity. I'm talking about union. Union. Think about it. Union with the Triadic One. I remember Dallas Willard, when he was alive, telling the story of how he grew up in a rural area that was completely devoid of electricity. And then during his senior year in high school, when the transformational power of electricity became available, well, the residents had a choice. They had the choice to believe and to rely on electricity or to continue living just as they had lived before. And incredibly, says Willard, some refused to turn and enter the kingdom of electricity. They didn't want to change. They refused to believe in what was self-evident, the reality, the wonder of electricity. Well, I can relate to that because I found myself in a very similar situation. I believe truth mattered. But the notion that I could participate in divine energy, that was, well, essentially lost on me. So electricity, as it were, had come, but I continued to muddle along apart from the transformational reality of that electricity. Back then, I had little concept of what the life that mattered more might entail. The very notion that it might involve what the early church designated deification existed outside of my conceptual framework. And therein lies a problem that may well apply equally to you. Our personal paradigms, they function as frames and as filters, sort of a set of blinders that limit our peripheral vision and screens out data that's incompatible with our existing conceptual structures and values. Let me give you an example. Throughout most of human history, Earth was believed to be the center of the universe. Well, in recent centuries, of course, the notion of a heliocentric universe emerged, and now we know something even more. We know now that the universe comprises trillions of galaxies, each replete with hundreds of billions of stars. My point here is that our perceptual lenses are in desperate need of cleaning. While the divine incomprehensibility of the life that matters more is not a prohibition upon truth, it most certainly is the transcending of truth. In fact, it's the transcending of all philosophical speculation. And therefore, it may rightly be said that truth is always in the last resort a means. It's a unity of knowledge that subserves an end that transcends all knowledge. And that ultimate end is union with God. It's fellowship in the Holy Trinity. It's deification. Well, I write about all of this and more in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. Two parts to that book. The first, well, it's about equipping you to be able to speak truth in a post-truth culture. But the second is about acquiring, reveling in the life that matters more, experiencing the divine energies of God. And when you have that experience, your wires, your circuits, maybe I should say, will be rewired. Well, check the book out on the web at equip.org. And when we come back from the break, we'll go right to your calls. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We will be right back with answers to your questions. Don't touch that dial.
Atheist evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins says, "The universe could so easily have remained lifeless. It's an astonishing stroke of luck that we are here. But were we really just incredibly lucky? Illustra Media's film Origin demonstrates it takes far more than luck to account for the more than 8 million species of living organisms on planet Earth. Life on Earth bears every indication of having been designed by a creator for a purpose. Receive the film Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Thank you. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. To the phone lines, Paul, a Canadian listener in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Paul.
Hi, my name is Paul. I'm calling from Vancouver, and I just had this question I believe you might have an answer to.
Uh-huh.
In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, Jesus gave the sign of the coming of the rapture. He said, after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give it light, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall you see the Son of Man coming in cloud with great power and glory. And now the post or the pre-tribulation school, we rely on 2 Thessalonians, I think chapter number 3, when they believe that the tribulation or the Antichrist would come after the rapture. And the scripture that they rely on is the portion of the Bible that says, the mystery of iniquity already works, but he that let it will keep letting it until it's taken out of the way. And that, of course, they say is the Holy Spirit, that the believers are the carriers of the Holy Spirit. Like Apostle Paul said, know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of the Lord dwelleth in you. And so there's this confusion as to which one is really correct. Is it the post-tribulation theory or the pre-tribulation theory? Which one would you say is the best one?
Well, it's a false choice because neither one of them is correct. In fact, I have argued this consistently throughout my ministry, and I wrote about this in a book titled The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. First, let me say in this regard that you appeal to Matthew chapter 24. Appealing to Matthew chapter 24 gives us the opportunity to appeal to other gospels as well. For example, Luke 21. We can also appeal to Mark. But moreover, I think we can appeal to the book of Revelation because the book of Revelation is John's expanded Olivet discourse. Now, what's really important in this process, Paul, is to read Scripture in light of Scripture. So you quoted a portion of Scripture when you said, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Well, that language ought to resonate with each one of us if we have read through the Bible. If we have done that, we know that those are very familiar words. Jesus, in fact, is using the language of the Old Testament prophets and making an application of that language. The Old Testament prophets used that very language to talk about destruction that was going to come to nations that they were dealing with. For example, the Medes and the Persians were going to come and they're going to put out the lights, the glory of the Babylonian kingdom. And this exact language is used. And as those who have read through the Bible know, Jesus is now using this language and applying it to the destruction of Jerusalem. So the Olivet Discourse is not about a pre- or a post-tribulational rapture. Jesus is talking about the time when the temple in Jerusalem are not going to be only desecrated, as in Daniel's prophecy, but manifestly destroyed. In fact, Jesus says that that is going to happen within a generation. And so it does. And people that misunderstand this language make Christ out to be a false apocalyptic prophet. They say, you know what? He said his coming would be within a generation of this time when the world is being destroyed, when the earth is finally going to end its existence. And it didn't happen, and therefore Christ cannot be absolved of being a false apocalyptic prophet. Well, the truth of the matter is, they misunderstand the language of Scripture. Now, the problem is there are people in the church that likewise misunderstand the language of Scripture. And therefore, they have a hard time dealing with the skeptics. They've built sort of a cottage industry in-house, but the cottage industry does not hold water. Now, I say that for a number of reasons, and let me give you those reasons. The pre-tribulational rapture theory is without biblical basis. And I can say the same thing about a post-trib rapture theory. Secondly, there's no biblical basis for a coming seven-year tribulation during which the vast majority of Jews are going to die. Now, as I've alluded to, there's warrant for these kinds of tribulations in Scripture. There is a tribulation like this under the Old Testament Antichrist, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, and there was a tribulation like this that Christ is talking about in the Olivet Discourse, and John talks about in his expanded Olivet Discourse, as I mentioned, the book of Revelation. A second point I would make is this. There is no warrant for rebuilding a temple and for reinstituting temple sacrifices. In fact, the Scripture overtly forbids Christians to take part to encourage the building of a third temple, which would occasion, according to Paul in Hebrews, the trampling of the Holy Son of God underfoot by counting the blood of the covenant a common thing through the offering of unholy animal sacrifices. The Shekinah glory of God is never, ever, ever going to descend upon a temple constructed of lifeless stones. I say that because it forever dwells within the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God. Now, you may sort of remember those words because they're not really my words at all. They're the words of Peter inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Peter goes on, he says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And I want to make one final point, Paul, and that point is that just as there is no biblical warrant for a pre-tribulational rapture or a future seven-year tribulation, so too there is no biblical basis for believing in a second chance for salvation after the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ was crystal clear about this. He said, all given to him by the Father would be raised up on the last day. And Paul points out that the liberation of creation goes hand in hand with the redemption of our bodies, and thus we can be absolutely certain that no one will be saved following the second coming of Christ. The notion that our bodies are redeemed at the rapture and that the earth is liberated from its bondage to decay approximately 1,007 years later is without biblical basis. As the second appearing takes place, the bride of Christ, the church universal, is complete, and no one else will be saved. My point in answering the question in the way that I have answered it is to simply say that there is no warrant for the theological construct, the false choice where you got to either choose for a pre or a post. Some even choose for a mid. The construct itself is fatally flawed. And again, if you want to get a good sense of that, so you don't start with your eyes on the wrong paradigm that you're imposing on the biblical text, but rather read the biblical text for all substantial worth, if you do that, it will be enlightening. If you don't pin a paradigm on the Scripture, but read the Scripture for all its substantial worth, That makes all the difference in the world. And to guide you again, I wrote the book, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. I am so sorry there's so many people that I would have liked to get to. Some more Canadian listeners, Donald, my apologies, and others calling in. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hope to talk to you very soon on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We have a special broadcast coming up tomorrow. It's a broadcast in which I want to focus on the twin evils of racism and a word that I coined, richism. You'll get it in tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long for now. Godspeed.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. The film Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth transcends science to touch the heart and mind of anyone who has ever pondered the deepest mystery of human experience. Where did we come from? And why are we here? As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.